Acts chapter 17, verse number 30, the Bible says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." He's speaking about the Lord Jesus, who will be that judge and who is raised from the dead. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead," get this, some mocked, "and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And so Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus and the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." Let's pray. Father, Lord, would you help us as we continue to study the truth of your word concerning evangelism, concerning outreach, concerning reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an awesome and great task that you have given us, Lord. But thank God you've given us the power and the ability to do so. And Lord, help us to understand that our obedience is not dependent upon people's response. It is simply to do your will, because that is what matters. Would you help us to understand that, Lord, in our walk and even tonight? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we know, as we've been studying just in Ecclesiastes, and we studied also in the Gospels where the Lord gave instruction to the 70 that went out, and we've been talking about how do we respond to people that do not respond to the Gospel, that do not receive truth well. Maybe they do receive it, but they don't receive it in the depths of their heart. And dealing with that, we talked about people of peace that we read about in Luke, those that receive the gospel and not getting discouraged when they don't. And here we see another scenario, another situation where the gospel is being preached, in this case, the Apostle Paul. And we see that the response is three different responses to the Word of God here. And I just want to briefly go over these as a reminder to what we are doing and asking God to help us. Well, the first response you see there in your Bible, look there in verse number 32. "When they heard of the resurrection of the dead," it said, the Bible says, "some mocked." All right? Now, this was the first group he's going to refer to. There were a couple groups there that totally, refuted the resurrection. They totally disregarded that as being anywhere near the truth. And so Paul's going to deal with that. And they mocked the gospel. They laughed at it. They ridiculed it. And I like to say this is it was a deriding response. To deride the gospel message, they counted it as laughable. And you know, believe it or not, we may not get a whole lot of persecution here in our society. We really don't. But I tell you what, we do get a lot of this. A lot of people mocking the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life that represents the gospel, do we not? And people do it in their own little way. I think about our young people, our teenagers. You know, it doesn't take long for somebody to note whether or not they're living for Christ. And if they are living for Christ, they become somehow in the place of being ridiculed and mocked like this situation was. But I'm here to tell you, we should not let those people deter us from the will of God. Because that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I think it will help you, at least it helps me, to know as the Apostle Paul. Listen, we're going to see here in a second, after Paul saw these responses and all this, what does it say? "And Paul departed from among them." I like that verse because to me, I may be reading into it, but what I'm saying, Paul's just moving on to the next one. The next person. Paul's moving on. And I'm not going to get so caught up on whether or not a person responds to the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel message. I'm going to pray that they do, but I'm not going to get down in the dumps and get discouraged. Because I know, there, as we're going to see here in a minute, there are going to be people that grasp it. There are going to be people that grab a hold of it. And the Word of God uses a special word here that we're going to see. They cleave to it. And I'm thankful that that is a response. But we see here a deriding response. They sought to mock the gospel message. And you've heard it, I've heard it. We've all experienced it. Ridiculing our belief. But look what the Lord does, and we see. Look at the next group in our Bible. The next group says, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. All right. This is, for sake of alliteration, we first had a deriding response, but the second one, I might be teaching y'all a new word tonight because it was a new word for me, but we see a dilatory response. This is simply procrastinating. They were delaying a response to what is going on in this time. Do any of you teenagers, are you guys ever dilatory in your assignments? They're like, I know when I was in school, I was. You procrastinate an assignment. You wait till the last night. But, you know, sometimes you work a little better under pressure. I understand that. I can remember in Bible college that I would stay up sometimes. I'm embarrassed about this, but my wife can testify this. Is she in here tonight? Where's my wife? There you are. Caroline, you behave yourself. But I would wait sometimes, and I was working a second shift job, so I was full-time second shift, and I was pretty much full-time at school. Well, I'd come in at work from night at midnight or 11 o'clock, and I would have, of course, a paper due the next day that I hadn't probably even written the first paragraph. And then sometimes I would have a very big exam the next day that I hadn't studied for. And so sometimes I would wait till the last minute. And I remember my blessed wife, oh, how I praise the Lord for her every single day. But you know that she would, while I was at work, many times she would take notes for me. She would read the assignment and take notes for me on note cards so that I could come home and study my note cards. And what a blessing. And it was so bad one time. I was so tired. I could barely keep my eyes open. But I can, if my sweet wife is talking, I can stay awake. But she actually read my assignment to me. And she read so I could listen and helped me stay awake. And I say all that to say this. That's some serious procrastination that was going on. And something I'm not proud of, but I was definitely dilatory in some of my assignments. But I want to tell you one thing you don't want to be dilatory in, and that is receiving the gospel message. And that's what we see here, somebody procrastinating. Now, we see that a lot too, don't we? Not today. I'm under conviction, but I'm just not ready today. And I understand that, but I always try to qualify. And if you could remember this, young people, this is so important in all of our church. You need to respect that response, but you need to, if you have the opportunity, listen closely, you need to tell them in a very gracious manner that I understand you said you want to wait and study it out more, but can I tell you, you're not promised another day. You need to let them know that because it's the truth. When God's Spirit is convicting and drawing, who knows if there will be another drawing, okay? And so we see these ones that have procrastinated. We see the deriding response, the dilatory response. But thirdly, praise God, I see a delightful response. In closing, look here. We see that there is a group of people. The Word of God says they clave unto Him. The Word is literally like glue inseparable. They just totally stuck to the message that Paul had and were drawn to him and received it that strongly. And praise God for those responses to the gospel message. And it says they believed. They simply took God at His word, and we know that these were we know for a fact these people were successful, and they were educated. They were even in the court system. This Areopagite, very much so noticed in that society as being very influential to the people around them and well known, and somebody that truly came to know Christ because they believed on the gospel. What an encouragement. And then that last phrase of verse 34, look what it says, talking about those that clave unto Him and believed, and it says, and others with them. I want to just leave us with this tonight, church. As we're out giving out our door hangers, you know, and as we're giving out our tracts and passing them out and having special events like VBS and I Care Sundays that will be coming up a week from this Sunday, we're going to just do our best to invite people, to love people, to do our best, and let God do the rest. Some will mock, unfortunately. Some will procrastinate, unfortunately. But praise God, don't get caught up with those first two groups. Don't get caught up. Don't get discouraged. You're thinking about people right now that you have shared the gospel with time and time again, but they refuse it. Don't get discouraged. Just go to the next place, to the next person, because get this, just like when Jesus told the disciples, you will eventually get to people that will believe. And that, my friend, is an encouragement. And as a pastor, you know, leading the flock, an under-shepherd, I realize that in the work and the desire to reach people, we'd like to see scores of people coming to Christ. And that may just happen one day, but usually it does not. Usually it's one by one. And remember, we've been studying that line, that theme as well, the value of one. And I'm glad that Paul didn't get discouraged because these people mocked and ridiculed. I'm glad Paul didn't stop when he was under persecution. I'm glad he just kept on going. And that's my prayer tonight, that we will simply keep on going for the Lord.